Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Marty Despain, the Director of Smart Homes and Building Solutions at Intel. Marty, thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I love talking about smartphones. I'm waiting for the day that a house is smart enough to actually do my cooking and cleaning. Hopefully we'll get there one of these days. I hope you're working on that, Marty.
Well, we're working on making the house be as helpful as possible. I don't know if it's going to cook and clean for you anytime soon, but we're going to make cooking and cleaning a lot more fun and easier for you.
Well, I love that part. So let's talk about the perspective of what it means to actually have a smartphone, a home, because I think a lot of people interpret the smart home as meaning different things. So when you talk about it at Intel, how do you think of a smart home?
Well, one of the things that as we look at the smart home today is we actually have taken a position that the smart home doesn't exist quite yet. Okay, that the smart home, there's a lot of connected homes that have very good broadband connection, have started to have connectivity within the home. But we think there's connected homes and there's smart devices. But to truly have a smart home, we need to up the game a little bit. And so from our perspective, a smart home is aware of who you are, what you're doing, the purpose of what you're doing, and then is also able to assist you in what you're doing. And the technology is there to do that, but we still have to grow some ecosystem and the environment to be able to get to the point where we're delivering a holistic experience to the end consumer and not just single point products.
Got it. I think that makes sense. I mean, you're right. There are a lot of smart devices. There are a lot of connected homes. I know we all have various bits and components that we use and rely on, but there isn't really anything that brings that together to make the home truly smart. So what's missing? You talked about there's some gaps in the ecosystem. What are those gaps?
So, well, first, you know, it starts on the standard space itself. You know, there's a lot of confusion about how to get devices to become interoperable, to be able to seamlessly be discovered by the home, to be able to interoperate with each other, and then to seamlessly create a path to data to the cloud. And so the first part that we're really focusing on at Intel is the interoperability, connectivity, and security. And it needs to be driven by a standards-based solution. And so, you know, our emphasis is on a standards body called OCF, the Open Connectivity Forum. And their open platform called IoTivity. So while that's not the end-all to be-all to solve this problem yet, it's a really good start. And if we can, over 200 partners that are in this consortium can keep pushing forward on it, we think we're going to be able to drive the industry to an open standards-based solution and get rid of a lot of the proprietary protocols that are currently being used. So that's the first layer. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it does seem to, there do seem to be a lot of different competing ecosystems and operating systems and standards, you're right. That does need to be put in place, but there's often a lot of debate about what those standards should be. How do you herd lots of different cats into one direction?
Patience. I prefer not to view it as herding and more of uncovering what the problems are and having open debate to solve those problems. That's one of the nice things about what's being driven by OCF is we've got people that have genuine, strong opinions on how these standards should go, and it's going into a very open, transparent body to solve those problems. The second piece of it, though, is to start driving scale and start driving volume, and that means working with our ecosystem partners to help them recognize and understand the value that comes with using standards, open standards. Intel's been doing this for years. We're pretty good at it, but it does take some patience and it's less about herding and more about identifying what the value proposition for each of the different partners that are engaged.
Got it.
And then they'll be excited to join you.
Well, I think that's true. You, defining the value proposition is often driven by use cases that make all of this a much more tangible conversation. So when you think about the smart home and the ways in which you see this developing and evolving. Lots of different possibilities, but are there a couple of use cases that kind of pop to the top that you could see a lot of synergies among all these partners and therefore some agreements as to what standards might be necessary to carry those forward?
I love the question that you just asked. It's a question that I wish more of my customers would ask up front. Generally, when I engage with my customers, they say, I want a smart home solution. And I end up having to say, no, you don't really want a smart home solution yet. We want to have solutions that have very specific use cases. You know, so our two primary drivers of use cases, at least that we think are the important ones, are the home assistant and driving peace of mind use cases. So the home assistant, a good example of that is what's been done with Amazon Echo. It's a good start moving forward into the industry where we're eliminating some of the challenges of engagement by delivering a user interface that people can work with fairly seamlessly. Okay, so that's a really good start on the home assistant side. Now, we need to take advantage of the artificial intelligence components and creating ecosystems and, once again, standards that will enhance that experience as well. And then when you flip over to the peace of mind, instead of saying, I want a smart home, what we really need to say is hey, I want to know that my children came home safely from school today. Hmm. Or something as simple as, I want to make sure that my dog doesn't get up on the sofa while I'm away. those are specific use cases that people can understand, rather than this gray area of, well, what's a smart home?
Right. Yeah, because it's almost like boiling the ocean. It's too big.
Well, and it doesn't, until you can actually touch someone's motivating factors, it doesn't mean that much, right? I'll just give you a couple of examples. This is a personal example for me. I was in Estonia working with a customer, and at 2 a.m. I got a call from my mother, and she says, Marty, I don't want you to freak out, but your dad just passed out from loss of blood.
Oh dear.
How was I supposed to react to that?
Wow.
You know, of course I freaked out. I was, you know, 10,000 miles away. And so when I got home, I went to my dad. I said, Dad, you know, and by the way, he's fine. Don't want your viewership or hearership to be concerned. But I went to him and said, Dad, you know, I'd like to put some video cameras and some stuff in your house. And he's like, Son, you're my son. You're not going to invade my privacy. There's no way that's going to happen. Right? So instead, I said, Okay, Dad, I get it. But, you know, I'm the general manager of Smart Home. Why don't we do something like, let me test out some of the home automation features. So turning on the lights. When you walk into a room, the lights will turn on. When you walk out of the room, the lights will turn off. You'll be able to, from an app, be able to make sure either doors are locked and control some of those features within your home. So pretty basic standard home automation features. He's like, Marty, that sounds great. But when he's willing to do that in the background, the use case that's important to me is you can use analytics of that data. And I now understand that he's regularly getting up in the morning, that his average trend's there. I know that he's regularly going to the kitchen and opening up the refrigerator because I have a contact sensor that sends a buzzer when you forget to close the refrigerator door. But that also tells me how often he's opening the refrigerator door. You add trend analytics to that, and now I'm getting notifications when he isn't eating the way he's supposed to be, or he's not getting up in the normal fashion he was. So without really invading his privacy, I'm getting the peace of mind that I needed. And that's a very specific use case, right?
That's a great story. Where I thought you were going with this was you were going to get him used to the smart home monitoring, and then you were going to work up to the video camera. But you don't need that because you have data with what you put in place to be able to understand if there's an aberrant behavior that the data reports back to you, and then you can check in. That's actually very very important. That's a great story.
Thank you for pointing that out, because that's the example that you know, people immediately think that smart home has to be invasive, and it doesn't.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
We use the term, we need to instrument the home. And once we instrument the home, then the data will be generated, and that's the beauty of the Internet of Things, is that data gets generated, and then there's machine learning and other artificial intelligence components that can take that data and make it even more meaningful. But the key there is It's the end consumer that gets to make the decision of how much of that data they want to share. That's another thing that Intel's working aggressively on, is how do we make that data more transparent? The data is very, very, it's valuable, but let's make sure that the value of it's returned back to the end consumer.
Well, and I think the other thing that you pointed out is that there doesn't really have to be an action that's different from what your dad ordinarily does. You know, get out of bed, walk to the kitchen, walk to the living room, you know, walk in and out of doors. You know, often these devices require activation. I mean, Amazon Alexa, I love, but you have to wake her up. And, you know, what you're demonstrating is there's an opportunity just by having devices that produce analytics that don't require your dad to do anything differently. You're able to have the peace of mind that you describe. I think that's really important.
Yeah, you know, there's always going to be this very careful balance between privacy and, you know, security that goes along with how the data is shared. You know, the fact that we have to wake up the Amazon Alexa is actually a good thing, right? Because now we know that it's only taking, you know, our voice when we ask for it to take our voice and things like that. So it's a careful balance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the smart home, if we do it right and if we do these open standards and we start driving as full ecosystems, we can make this a very seamless and painless process for the end consumer that will generate a great deal of value in terms of a better lifestyle, ease of use, and things like that.
A couple more questions, and we talked about the smart devices, and we all have, you know, our own collection at home. But, you know, that's how a lot of these devices are going to market. So you know, there's a smart refrigerator, there's the Nest thermostats, there's the Amazon Echo and Tap and Dot, and all the different things that are now emerging around it. But yet they don't talk to each other. I mean, that obviously is a function of standards and interoperability, but are we far away from having this universal hub that brings all these things together? Is that even possible to integrate all these smart devices into a hub that connects all those different experiences and devices together?
Well, thanks for the softball. Appreciate that. We're working on that universal hub today. But I want to make clear here is it's not a single universal hub. What it is, first of all, it's the standards, but Intel's also working on a platform. We call it the Smart Home Developer Acceleration Platform. But it's a platform that takes those standards and allows it to be on lots of different devices. So when you say a universal hub, to me, and the way that I view the smart home, is there's actually going to be lots of different types of hubs that can all do similar functions. Mm-hmm. And the end consumer will have to choose what's important. You mentioned a smart refrigerator. Well, with the right, you know, platform in the smart refrigerator, with the right amount of compute and the right connectivity, that smart refrigerator could actually be the universal hub that talks to the other devices. Mm-hmm. It could also be a PC that, you know, we're working with our partners on that. It could be a gateway router that you have in your home already. Now, there have to be some changes in the hardware. We have to add some additional radios. We need to modify some of the memory footprint and things like that. But these devices, we don't have to go out and create this brand new solution. We just need to modify some of the solutions we have in place today.
Got it. I didn't intend it to be a softball. It's kind of a very interesting question, because you don't want to think that you're buying all these different devices for naught. But it's nice to know there's a solution being developed. One question that may be certainly in your wheelhouse, I know for sure, is keeping all the data secure. So with all of this great opportunity, we talked about privacy and security of data, and that's particularly important when you start glomming payment into the various experiences that could trigger commerce. You know, the smart refrigerator knows you're out of eggs or about to be out of eggs and orders things for you automatically. But how are you thinking about that problem, which is certainly a very big one and pretty important?
Yeah, there isn't a single solution that says, okay, here's your promise security. So at Intel, we tend to look at it as layers after layers of security. So if you think specifically to the platform I just described, the Smart Home Acceleration Developer Platform, that platform, we start at the silicon level and mm-hmm. have added security engines and things like that at the silicon level. Then you move up into the OS level, and it has its own trusted boot capabilities and things like that to make sure that the device itself isn't hacked. Then you move into the middleware, and you have to start adding things like a manifest system that recognizes that only applications that have a trusted manifest are allowed to access the gateway. You also have to add things like anomaly detection so that even the devices that are attached to the gateway or the hub, even if they don't have security on them per se, if they start acting in a manner that's not in accordance to what you expect, it you recognize it and you can shut those ports down. So that's all in the middleware level. And then you move up into the actual data plane where you have to make sure that you're doing the right encryption, that you're using the right protocols to send the data from the device into the cloud. And it's, as I said, it's just a layer after layer, and it takes bots. The technology's there. It just takes, we use it, designed with security in mind from the beginning. You can't just slap security on the end of the design. But if you take that approach, we everything's hackable, but you can make it much more difficult to hack.
Right. Well, Marty, it's been fascinating talking to you and getting the perspective that you bring to the smart home and how you're thinking about it at Intel. It's a conversation that I could continue for a long time, but I think we'll wrap and save some of the other insights for a further conversation. I love the way you've broken out the use cases into a smart home needs to be able to function as an assistant and also providing peace of mind, two things that certainly are very relevant to everyone and important drivers to adoption. So again, thanks very much for your insights, and I look forward to talking again soon. Especially, I want you really working on this smart home that does my cooking and cleaning. Once you get that nailed, I'm there for life.
The next time we get together, I'll show you a demo. It's really cool.
Do it in my house. That would be a great
thing. All right. I just got an invitation.
You did. You just got an invitation, Marty. Thanks again. I really appreciate
Thank
the time.
You.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.